The Crossman Conversation brought to you today by Community Legal Services, Maynard Cooper, Frontier Partners, First Horizon Bank, Florida Blue, and R-Squared Solutions.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Mike, before we get started, I got to tell you a quick story.
Do you have time for that, Mike?
Yeah,
I do.
Okay. So, Mike, I've had the pleasure over the years of getting appointed to several different positions, you know, like the county, the city, and even gubernatorial and senatorial. It's been fun. You know, I've never run for office, don't plan to. But boy, I've enjoyed serving in different positions because you get to help people and, you know, it's been kind of fun and exciting. So I did this one job where I was the chairman of a board that was really helping people. And it would blow you away, this group, again, a government group, but it was helping people in need. And when I got close to the end, I decided to go see the elected official who was the top person, very powerful elected official, and meet with them. And my whole goal was to say, thank you. And I want you to know you and your team are doing a great job serving the people of the community. So, Mike, I go see this big, powerful politician, and I say that. And you know what the politician says back to me? Well, you know, John, we could do better. We need to get better. And I was like, well, yeah, we all could. But, you know, you're doing a great job, and your team's a great job. Well, John, we need to get better. We just need to get to do more. And I finally was like, hey, take the compliment. You know, like, well, that elected official who was so humble and so kind and so influential and powerful, but wouldn't take a compliment, Mayor Jerry Demings. And that's our guest today is Mayor Jerry Demings. So Mayor Demings, are you there?
I am here, sir. Thank you for inviting me on your radio show and podcast. I'm always honored whenever anyone wants to pick my brain or talk to me about my service. I'm looking forward to a spirited conversation today.
Well, I appreciate it. And by the way, thank you. You serve in so many areas. One of the things you serve on, you're on the FAMU College of Law Advisory Board. And so you've been a big supporter of the FAMU College of Law. And so thank you for the work that you do there. It's very cool.
Yeah, that's a great opportunity that we have. The FAMU College of Law is a great legal institution that trains lawyers for our nation and our state. And when they asked me to serve, I said, absolutely, I'd be humbled to serve. I have three sons, and all of them are graduates of Florida A&M University. And I have a number of relatives who've attended the main undergraduate university, but also I have some who've gone to grad school and gone to law school there as well. So I have a wonderful relationship with the institution.
Well, you know, what's funny is that, and Mike, just so you hear this, like, you know, sometimes like a big time a politician's on a board, but they never actually go. They sort of send somebody. And it's so funny, you go to the board meeting and there's all these board members and like, there's the mayor. Like, there's the mayor's at the board meeting, and he comes. And you told me before that you like doing that, because I think what you said was it kind of keeps you in connection with what's really happening in the community. Is that right?
You're precisely right. It does give me perspective, and I am the type of leader where I don't just leave from sitting in the office. I like to get out into the field where the people truly are and hear the unfiltered concerns of our residents, and also give input as well. But that's the best way that I can help shape the quality of life that we have as a community by being engaged directly in that community. And the FAMU College of Law Advisory Board is but one of many, you know.
Right.
As the mayor of Orange County, I have a number of boards that I serve on as a result of my role as a chief executive officer for the county, and they are many, and they do some important things in this community. And then I have those that are truly boards that I get to choose. I'm obligated to serve on them. But, you know, a long time ago, when I was being raised during the formative years in this community, someone said, an influential person in my life said, really, the service that you render to others is a measure of your service and your commitment to God. And so it is a responsibility that we all have as human creatures. And so I get to serve with people like you. John talks about others quite a bit. But the John Crossman that I have learned to know and understand is a very humble servant who truly walks amongst the people and humbly serves as well.
Thank you. I'm just a dude that shows up. That's all I am. I do want to say this. One of the things you were saying, who you reminded me of is Dr. Or Pastor David Swanson. And he and I were talking about how sometimes when churches get real big, some pastors quit doing funerals and they quit doing weddings and they quit doing sort of frontline stuff, and they actually become weaker pastors because they're not connected. And I kind of hear that's what you're saying, that, you know, when you think about this, I think Mayor Karate told me one time that the GDP of Orange County is bigger than the state of Alaska, right? So when you're the mayor of Orange County, think about that. It's like your role in leadership is bigger than some countries around the world. And so to have that leadership role, but then be plugged in on a local level, it makes you a better leader. I want to segue to something, and it's embarrassing my mom. That's the next thing I want to talk about, Mayor. So you and I were at a Father of the Year event together, and my mom has always been a big fan of yours. And then during the networking time, she got to meet you. And then she came up to me and she said, "I got to meet Mayor Demings. He is so handsome." And so then I was on the mic. I was actually speaking at the event, and I told that story. And when I was talking to my mom earlier, I told her I was interviewing. She said, "Don't you tell that story on the air." I said, "No, I have to tell the story because, you know, the mayor's a handsome guy." Well, the segue on that is the reason why my mom wanted to meet you is really the main point of what I went having the show is talking about leadership during crisis. And Mayor, you know, sometimes things happen and we reflect back on it years later and we can think, oh, that wasn't that big a deal. Sometimes time gives us perspective like, dude, that was crazy. That was a crazy thing. And so the first thing is the Pulse nightclub shooting. Like when that first happened, you know, to me, it was just so much shock and disbelief. Years later, I'm still like that. It's just unbelievable. It's hard even to unpack all that. And one of the things I remember so well about that was your calm. I almost want to say you had a paternal leadership style, that it was like, we're going to be okay. But talk to me about that, of crisis leadership.
All right. Well, first, let me just comment about your mother. She's a beautiful person inside and out.
Thank you.
And, you know, I'm a pretty good judge of people. And when I met her, she had this very youthful appearance where she didn't look like she was old enough to be your mother in the first place.
That's true. That is true.
And I told her that and you that too. But we do honor our parents, our mothers, and our fathers. And in most cases, the advice that they give us is spot on.
Right.
And you probably should have listened to your mother. Okay. So now that I have that out of the way. In terms of the crisis management experience that I have, I've had the perfect life to be able to lead during moments of crisis. And that is because it's the sum total of all of my life experiences and my training. Mm. I think that as professionals, you will not get to be as good as you possibly can be until you have two things, until you're well-trained, number one. Number two, until you have a lot of experience. And this is my 42nd year of public service experience, beginning with the service to the citizens of Orlando as an Orlando police officer 42 years ago as a first responder. And I had the opportunity to hold every rank within the Orlando Police Department. And when I retired after more than two decades of service to the Orlando, I was chief of police. Had the opportunity to be the first African-American appointed as chief of police in my own hometown of Orlando. Over the decades with the Orlando Police Department, I held multiple jobs during that period of time. The agency sent me away to the FBI National Academy. I had the opportunity to complete that academy in Quantico, Virginia. I had the opportunity to study with some of the brightest public service people from around the world. I had the opportunity to get advanced degrees, and I taught crisis management for over two decades at Valencia College, both as an adjunct professor as well as a crisis management, a first response, a law enforcement instructor. I've had all types of incidents that I managed. After retiring from the Orlando Police Department, I became the deputy county administrator for Orange County and the director of public safety. And in that role, I had responsibility at that time for about 3,200 of the county's employees. I got to be the interim jail director. I managed the hurricanes of 2004. Remember, we had hurricanes Charlie, Jean, and Francis.
Yep.
Within a 6 or 7 week period of time, we had three hurricanes that brought a list of experiences with it. I then was elected Orange County Sheriff in 2008, and I served until 2018. During that period of time, I had all types of crises that I dealt with. And then as mayor, now I, as the CEO of the county, I also, during states of emergency, I become the emergency manager for the entire county, inclusive of the municipalities during those states of emergency. And so with the breadth of all of that, even though I'm well experienced, I also can't do the job alone without a wonderful team of experts. And one thing that I do have in Orange County, my senior leadership team, they have a lot of experience. They are individuals also who are well trained. And so I get to be the leader of the organization. But quite frankly, it is that team of people that I have who are able to make certain that we look retrospectively and we look prospectively, that we take the sum total of all of our experiences and we train and we prepare for the future. You heard the old adage that if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. Well, we are always strategizing and planning for crises so that when bad things happen, we are able to rise to the occasion. And I say that much like a person who's a thespian, an actor, they train to harness their skill and to perfect their skill. And then when the curtain call comes and the curtain goes up and it's time to go on stage to perform, they're able to perform. And so when a crisis happens, it's showtime. For me at that time to do what I have been prepared to do and what God has blessed me to do during this lifetime.
That, you know, it's funny, Mayor, as you say all that, you're making me feel better. I feel like, oh, gosh, if a crisis happens today, you know, he's got it. I'm not going to worry about it. Well, I want to unpack that a little bit more. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come right back with Mayor Demings here at the Crossman Conversation. I'd like to thank Maynard Cooper and Gale, PC, for being a sponsor of our program. Maynard is a full-service law firm with over 350 attorneys and 14 offices nationally who serve with professional excellence in everything from corporate and business matters to day-to-day legal issues. The office in Central Florida focuses its practice in real estate, corporate transactions and organization, banking and finance, along with trust and estates. To learn more, visit MaynardCooper.com.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Community Legal Services is a civil legal aid organization providing no-cost legal help to the underserved. They call it Legal Aid for All. Their attorneys assist with legal issues related to family law, housing, domestic violence, veterans benefits, and much more. Community Legal Services is a community-supported program. To learn more and help support the mission, visit clsmf.org. That's clsmf.org. Community Legal Services, legal aid for all.
Managing a team that has a lack of accountability and effective communication can be frustrating. Bill Roto-Rooter can help you build a cohesive team and a collaborative work environment. As a retired commander of the Navy's premier training system and research development organization, Roto has the experience to help you build trust and a high-performing team as you navigate high-pressure situations. To schedule a complimentary call with Roto, go to rotospeaks.com and complete the form and put the Crossman Conversation in the message field.
Did you know you may still qualify for 2023 health coverage? Life can happen unexpectedly, so don't let life changes stop you from getting the health coverage you deserve. Call an exclusive Florida Boot agent to see if you qualify for a special enrollment period. 1-877-352-5830. That's 1-877-352-5830. Policies have limitations and exclusions.
Are you willing to serve communities in crisis around the world? To people who are impoverished, oppressed, and persecuted? Frontier Partners International offers mission opportunities in areas least served to meet the needs of the helpless, the hapless, and hopeless. To learn how you can be a partner of this frontline ministry with your time, talent, or treasure, visit frontier-partners.org. That's frontier-partners.org.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
And we're back here at the Crossman Conversation with our very special guest, Mayor Jerry Demings. And Mayor, you were talking about training and experience. You know, I was asking about, you know, crisis. And of course, when I think crisis, I think freak out. And I think you think crisis and you're like, sure. Like, you know, and you're making me as a citizen feel so much better about your training and having that. I want you to walk me through, like, were you just like at your house and the phone rang and they were like, you know, was that Polsky? You were sheriff at the time, and did they just tell you, or were you mayor when that happened? What was your role when Pulse Nightclub happened?
When the Pulse incident happened, I was the Orange County sheriff, and I was at home. I got a call sometime shortly after about 2 a.m. On a Saturday night, Sunday morning, and it was June the 12th of 2016. And during that period of time, I had really just gone to bed. I had been up for a while, and so I wasn't in that deep sleep. But when the phone rang, it was my watch commander, lieutenant from the Orange County Sheriff's Office, who contacted me and said that they had an active shooter situation. And at the time, I could hear it in his voice. He said that at the club, he had been at the crisis site and I guess had been inside and took a quick peep and was then outside the crisis site. And he said that, Sheriff, it's bad. It's something we've never seen before. He told me at that time there was at least 2 dozen people that he could see had perished in hazardous situation. And he didn't have all the details. He said, I'm going to call you back in a few moments and update you on something, because I asked him a series of questions that I typically ask my own scene leadership team, and he didn't have all the answers. So I knew that this was likely going to be something that was going to go on for an extended period of time. And he called me back, I don't know, maybe 15 minutes later, gave me an update. I rolled out of bed, put on my sheriff's uniform, and got in my vehicle, and I went with blue lights and sirens to get to the scene as quickly as I could. I probably arrived at the scene sometime before 3 a.m. I was already at the scene. And one of the first people that I encountered at the scene, two of the first people I encountered, one was a sheriff's deputy. Another was an Orlando police sergeant. The sergeant was someone that I had hired as a police chief. And I could see that he had seen something. He had a stare almost as if he had seen a ghost. And he was shaking. He was nervous. And I asked him to show me, escort me to the command post, which he was standing at that time on the periphery of the perimeter that had been set up. And so he got in the vehicle with me. I asked him to get in the vehicle to go with me just for this probably two and a half block ride. But what I really was doing was it gave me just a brief moment to settle him down. Because we can't really serve others if we lose control during those situations. And so when you're precisely right, earlier you talked about my demeanor at these situations are always going to be one where I'm going to be calm, because if I'm not calm, when you're in a leadership role, especially in a crisis, and sometimes even otherwise, if I appear nervous, there's a ripple effect. Every other person that I'm responsible for supervising and managing and leading during that period of time, it gets worse as that goes through the team of people who are there to calmly and professionally deal with the crisis. That ripple effect, if the public sees that, it goes through the public, and it doesn't bode for really demonstrating confidence and trust in your abilities and your personnel. And so I've seen some leaders during crisis who they lost control. And if we lose control in a life or death situation, that is not good, because then we put and expose the casualties to others, and we do not perform at our best when we are not in control of our own emotions during those situations. So while we're human beings, there's a certain focus that we have to maintain in a crisis. And because of my experience, you know, I have a way of going about calming people down so that we can think through it and do the things that we've been trained to do. And so once I got to the command post and I began to interact with the Orlando police personnel and others, I didn't think we had adequate resources there. And so I then took control and began to direct my watch commander to get my other sheriff's office resources there on scene, because I knew what we were dealing with at that point. And so my role, while we worked with the Orlando Police Department, it was their incident. We were there in a supportive role, but one where the men and women who were there from the sheriff's office were as much a risk danger as anyone else was at that point. So we were in it together. It was a little while before the chief of police got there, but I began to interact with him, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and others, the fire personnel that was on the scene. My bomb unit came out, and a number of other resources. The sheriff's aviation unit was up, and it was an integrated a response at that point because of the number of victims that had to be transported to the hospital for treatment. There was a bit of a panic in hospital ERs because we had people who were going to Orlando Regional there in the downtown corridor. Of course, the crisis was there right off of Orange Avenue and Cayley in that area. So it was just blocks away from the only level one trauma center that we have in the area. So lives were saved because of proximity to the hospital. All of the patients could not be taken there. Others were taken to Advent Health, the Rollins location, and it required a whole security structure to be put around those hospitals. And then we began to receive other calls for service because, you know, it was an active night, so we still had the other calls for service coming in. And so as the days went on and daylight came up and others were there and we had stabilized the crime scene or the crisis scene, it was then time to do an assessment to deal with reunification of family members, how we would talk to the public. And we had a very large crime scene at that point. That was going to be held for weeks, you know, to process because of the complexity of what we were dealing with. That took a coordinated effort amongst a lot of different governmental entities. And that's kind of what we were dealing with. I found my role also as one reassurance to calmly talk to the people about the human experience. What I tried to do was not make it such a clinical kind of conversation with our community, not just such kind of sterile conversation as a law enforcement officer, but I wanted to humanize the experience to make sure that we were talking in terms of things that people could understand. The emotional toll that it took on our community and was taking on America, and all eyes was on us from around the world. I did numerous interviews, much like Chief Mina at the time and the various mayors, got involved in it. And so that's kind of what you see was, why I took a position and said some of the things that I was saying.
Well, Mayor, I want to say two things real quick because we got to wrap up. The first one is thank you for being our mayor. I am so inspired and it's so helpful from an educational standpoint, and I'm so grateful for you as our mayor and as leader and what you did in the situation. The second thing I want to say, as Jerry, as my friend, man, I want to give you a hug. when I think about all of that, for another conversation, what I want to hear about on another day is like just you as the human, man. I got to imagine after all that unpacking, all that, there's got to be some time of just your own humanity and grief. And I'm glad you have a good circle of people around you that love you and care for you, because that's a heavy weight. And it's a reminder, Mike, of how much we need to keep praying for our leaders, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's what we're called to do.
We have to pray for our leaders. We just don't know all that the burdens they have on top of them. When he was talking, Mike, I kept thinking, man, when did he sleep? You had a full tank of gas and you're emotionally, but man, he's tired at 2 a.m. It's crazy. Well, Mayor, thank you. Thank you for all you're doing. You're a blessing to so many. We appreciate it. And we're just glad to have you on the show. So thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting me. And I look forward to engaging with you sometime in the future. Thank you, Mike. Thank you everyone for patiently listening.
That's awesome. Thank you. This is John Crossman. This has been the Crossman Conversation. And as always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.